Stand as you are able and read in unison with me Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. This is the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated.
Dr. Davis Chapel had to be away this weekend to officiate at a wedding for a bride and groom, where the groom was like a child to he and Sherry. And so, knowing that he was going to be away, he invited me to preach this morning. Also had the sermon last night over in the chapel for the 6 o'clock service. And I said to the 6 o'clock service what I just said to you, that Davis Chapel was away, and I told them why he was away. And we had the service. And after the service, one of the congregants came out the door and she said, Pastor, I'll sure be glad when Davis gets back. And I said, that makes two of us. Let us pray. May this sermon enable all of us, especially the preacher, to become more grateful and thankful people. Amen. On this Sunday before Thanksgiving, our hearts overflow with thanksgiving. However, there is much in the world for which I am not thankful. I'm not thankful for the bombs that kill innocent people. I'm not thankful for the bullying that takes place in our schools. I'm not thankful for the violence that we see on television and how we're raising children with a steady diet of that kind of violence and killing. I'm not thankful that the nations of the world have not yet found a way to live together. Have you ever thought about it? God's children have been on this earth for longer than anyone can record, and yet we still have not learned how to live together. I'm not thankful for how we have worshiped the gods of consumption. I'm not thankful that I have not done all that I could to preserve and enhance creation. I'm not thankful that we've been more concerned about privilege and position and security than about those who've been pushed aside. I'm not thankful that a child dies every 60 seconds of malaria. I'm not thankful that so many of the earth's children are living in grinding poverty. I'm not thankful that 72% of the children in the Davidson County school system have to be on the free lunch program. I'm not thankful that Black Friday has become more important than Thanksgiving Day. Yet in spite of those feelings of non-thanksgiving, I join you in being thankful for so many people, so many places, and so many things that it would take me a half day, if not a whole day, to make a list of all of the people and places and things and blessings that have blessed my life. A wise writer once said, "How terrible it would be to go through life with no one to thank for the glories of the world, for loving relationships, and for the mysterious gift of life itself." In 1957, I was appointed to be the student pastor of a small congregation in the northern part of Shelby County. It was a small cinder block church. We had about 50 members, 20 or 25 or 30 there on Sunday morning. And the little church building was right in the bend of the road. And the church was named Gratitude Methodist Church. I wondered about how the church had named it, why the church had named itself that. And one day I went to Mr. Odie Timms, who was kind of the patriarch of that church, and I said, "Mr. Odie, how'd this church get its name, and why is it named Gratitude?" He said, "Well, if you notice, that sign's right out in the bend of the road." He said, "We named our church Gratitude because we wanted everyone who came up and down this road to remember to be thankful. That's one of the reasons that we have the cornucopia on the Sunday before Thanksgiving. It's a reminder to us to be thankful for the essential things of life. It was this spirit of thanksgiving that prompted the psalmist to write the 100th psalm. You remember that the psalms constituted the prayer book for the Hebrew people, also the song book for the Hebrew people, the meditation book for the Hebrew people, the liturgy for the Hebrew people. This psalm that we read this morning, the 100th psalm, was a processional psalm. It was a psalm that people sang as they came into the courtyards of Jerusalem. They sang it as they drew near to the holy city. Listen to what they sang as they came into the holy city. They sang, "Know that the Lord is God. It is He who hath made us, and we are His." You see, according to the psalmist, we are not self-made people. All of us sit under the trees that have been planted by other people. It's arrogant for us to say that we're self-made, independent people. For the Lord is God. It is He who hath made us. One day someone approached Henry Ford, and I told Henry Ford that he was a wonderful self-made man. And Henry Ford said this. He said, "I did not make the automobile. I simply rearranged that which was already in creation." He knew that he depended upon that which was already in creation in order to craft that first car. But they also sang, "Enter His courts with thanksgiving and His courts with praise." You see, these ancient Hebrew people knew God to be a giving God. And God is a giving God. God gives and gives and gives. God can't quit giving. God gives every blade of grass, every leaf on every tree, every cloud in the sky, every drop of rain, every morsel of food we put in our mouths. God gives and gives and gives. In fact, life itself is a gift. We do nothing to earn life. We do nothing to deserve life. Life comes to us as a sheer, unmerited gift. Those ancient Hebrew people knew that. So they could come into the courts singing, enter his courts with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. But there's another meaning to thanksgiving. And it will escape us if we're not careful. Thanksgiving has an almost mystical way of opening our hearts toward those who find it difficult because of the circumstances of life to be thankful. Thanksgiving opens our hearts to those who are loaded with difficulty, who are filled with anxiety, who are brokenhearted, who are disillusioned with disappointment, who are facing life-threatening illness, those who've struck out so many times in life that they don't want to get up to bat again, those who are contemplating suicide because they're seeing it as the only way out. Have you noticed how tender our hearts become as a culture and as Christians at this time of the year? How softened our hard hearts are toward those who stand in need, who have less, and who don't have much for which to be thankful. But friends, it's not enough to give thanks. We must also do thanks. That is, we must share our blessings with others if we know that we have been truly blessed. Thanksgiving, you see, should open our hearts to have concern for every man, woman, and child. Truly thankful people know that. A number of years ago, Janine and I had the privilege of making an Episcopal visit to Russia. We went to the southern region of Russia, down below the Caucasus, to two cities, Stavropol and Yattergorst. We were at Stavropol on Sunday morning where I gave the sermon. And I noticed that when they took the offering, they took the first offering, took it back and placed it in a basket. Then they came and took the second offering. So after the service, I inquired, why do you take two offerings? And these people in Stavropol said, oh, the second offering is our medicine offering. I said, your medicine offering? They said, yes. They said, in this part of Russia, when you go to the hospital, the hospital depends upon family and friends to bring the medications. Said the doctor writes a prescription, but it's up to us to get the prescription filled so we can take the medication to the nurses at the hospital in order to give to the patients. So they said every Sunday we take a medicine offering, and anybody in this church or anybody in this town who needs medicine, they know that they can contact us. The name of that church was Thanksgiving United Methodist Church. Thanksgiving was something they did. I won't have the opportunity to, But if I had the opportunity to organize a new congregation somewhere, I would name it Thanksgiving United Methodist Church, so that we would never forget to be grateful. Let us pray. Be thou the God of our families, O thou who settest the solitary in households. We bless thee for our homes. Amid the news of broken households, amid the scandals that fly from lip to lip and flood like torrent through the public press, we thank thee for the unheralded families that are wholesome and beautiful, for fathers and mothers who have reared us in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, for wives and husbands who have found through the years the stream of their love growing deeper and fuller, for children who are our pride and joy. Blessed be the God from whom every family in earth and heaven is named. And be thou the God of our nation and all the nations of the world. We thank thee for the heritage that thou hast given us in this country, so throned in richness between the seas, for the richness of our countrysides and the wealth of our resources, we thank thee. Give us the grace, we beseech thee, in this land to transcend our prosperity, to be superior to our wealth, and to always practice love and justice after the example of Jesus Christ. Amen.